This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. According to a new report by the Associated Press, the Cherokee County Department of Social Services systematically and illegally removed children from their homes. Social workers pressured parents into signing custody and visitation agreements, which effectively gave away care of their kids. Some parents didn't understand what they were signing, and all of it happened without a required court order. The illegal removals may have started more than a decade ago and affect potentially hundreds of children. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has now taken control of the local department. Holbrook Moore and Mitch Weiss are the investigative reporters who uncovered the story. I want to talk with both of them now. Holbrook, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And Mitch, you as well. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Mitch, let me start with you. How did the story come to light?
Well, we got a tip from a source that the Cherokee County Department of Social Services was forcing parents, biological parents, to sign their kids over, to sign these custody and visitation agreements. And you can't sign these agreements without going before a judge first. And essentially, they were coercing these biological parents. They were saying, if you don't sign these agreements, you're going to go to jail, or we're going to take the kids and place them in foster care, or we're going to place them with another family where they'll be adopted. So a lot of these parents didn't have a choice, and they signed these agreements. But what we did was, when our source told us this was happening, we went, we looked at documents, we interviewed people, and we found that, indeed, what our source told us was true, and that there was actually a court hearing back in December involving one of these parents, one of the parents, and that a judge in that case said the agreement, the way it was done, was illegal. And at that point, it opened up this Pandora's box, so to speak, because there were possibly, you know, hundreds of CVAs that have been done over the last 20 years.
Well, CVAs are that's the agreement, as you say, that the parents were essentially forced to sign and without benefit of a court order, which should have been happened first, right? That's what the CVA
correct.
Is. Yeah. Holbrook, let me talk about Brian Hogan, because he is a parent who's at the heart, who you feature in your story. Tell us Brian's story.
Well, Brian's story is he had, over the years, had some involvement with Child Protective Services. He and his wife did an interview with us and said that the involvement in, you know, years back had been primarily due to her drug use. But he had also had some brushes with the law himself, including he was charged with misdemeanor assault on a child in 2006. But Brian says he got his act together. And in fact, he and his wife split up a few years ago, and he got custody of his daughter. She had three children before they were married, and then they had a daughter together. He got custody of that daughter. So he had been through a custody process. But then back in 2016, his wife, they had reconciled by that point, had a heart attack, and he had to care for her. She was hospitalized for months in a hospital in Asheville, about 60 miles from their home. So while she was in the hospital, Brian left his daughter with a neighbor who had a child. They went to school together. He thought that she would be in good hands. But one day he got a call saying from Child Protective Services saying that we don't think your child is in a safe environment, so you need to come talk to us, which he did. And at that point, he said that he was coerced into signing this custody and visitation agreement, which gave custody of his daughter to his father, the child's grandfather. So after his wife got out of the hospital and got her health back, Brian decided to fight for his child. And he called an attorney named Melissa Jackson, who had handled his custody case. And he said, you know, they won't let me have my daughter back. And Melissa looked at his file and said, you know, according to the court, you have custody of your daughter. Go get her back. But he was not allowed to get the child. He, in fact, went to her school and asked to pick her up, and deputies told him that he could not, and they sent the child home with Brian's father. So Brian called Melissa and said, you know, they won't give me my kid back. And she began digging into it, and that's when she discovered this custody and visitation agreement that had been done outside of the court with no oversight from a judge.
And not just his case, but others. Mitch, how far back do we think this practice goes?
Well, you know, we don't know for sure, but this is what we do know. We know that the practice was implemented by a longtime attorney. His name is Scott Lindsay, and he was the attorney for the county and for DSS over a 20-year period. He admitted in court, there was a court hearing in one of the cases in which a mom wanted to get her kid back. And in that court hearing, it came out, he testified and he said, I was the one who, created this and introduced it to the DSS here. The cases go back to 2007, but probably earlier. And then later on, there was another social worker who testified and said, we're looking for the records. We may never know because they were paper records and there are files missing.
Mm.
So there's a chance they may never be, find out how many. But right now, lawyers who are, looking into the case and representing some of the victims, they've found at least 100 CVAs. Now, if you just conservatively estimate, one child per CVA, that's 100 kids. But what Bert and I have found from looking at the CVAs, if there's a CVA, there's usually two or three children involved. And again, those CVAs that they have so far only go back to 2009. And he said in court it went back 2007 and early.
Mm.
So
you could be looking potentially at hundreds of children by the time this is over.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the implications of this, not only for the parents, but these children have been placed in other situations now. The people who are supervising them, their foster parents, if that's technically what it is, think they have custody, and legally they don't. What a mess. What happens there? Holbrook?
Well, most likely what is going to happen is when they can track these children down, and as Mitch said, some of the files missing, but when they do find these children who are given away through these custody and visitation agreements, they're going to have to look at each case on an individual basis and try to figure out what is the best thing for this child at this point. So they're basically going to have to go back through the system, only this time they'll have to follow the proper procedure and all this be done with court oversight.
What does happen now, Mitch? Certainly, we've learned through your reporting that the state has taken over the county Department of Social Services. Am I right?
Yes, the state came in about a day after our story ran. But here's the thing. The state knew back in December, Brian Hogan had a hearing in which a judge said it was illegal, the CVAs, and they gave him his child back. And at that point, the state was contacted, and the state sent out a letter to every DSS in North Carolina saying that these CVAs, without a judge, without going to court, are illegal. Stop doing it. Anyway, they didn't take any action until a day after our story ran. So they came in, they're looking, at how DSS was run. And in fact, they said that, if I'm not mistaken, Bert, they said they found other problems in, the Cherokee County DSS. Am I right?
Yes, that's right. They have said they found systemic problems throughout DSS, and that's one of the reasons they went in and took over.
And, of course, this is a county that has a number of kind of social indicators that are below par. We're talking about poverty rates, substance abuse rates, incarceration rates that are well above the state average. And so this is a county that's got, plenty going on and in need of social services. Mitch, let me put that to you and talk about how that plays into this particular story. Because it would seem to me, if you're asking why, and I'll ask you if you know why this is happening, but certainly the caseload for social workers must be pretty intense in that county.
Yes, we talked to several social workers, and they said the caseload was overwhelming. The state recommends 8 to 10 active cases per social worker. At one point, it was up to 25 active cases per social worker in Cherokee County. They were just overwhelmed. They couldn't handle these cases. Even though they were overwhelmed and they were swamped, there were some social workers who said, this is isn't this illegal? And they went to Scott Lindsay, who was the DSS attorney, and he said, no, it is, you know, legal. Go ahead and keep doing it. So the problem is that you have this county, which is, you know, it's in the Smoky Mountains. It's a beautiful, you know, area, but it's also has a high joblessness rate. You know, they face incredible problems with drug addiction. So, you know, the social service agencies are just overwhelmed. And so, again, we don't know why. Scott Lindsay, when he was on the stand, when he was testifying, never testified to the why. And that's one thing that Holbrook and I just, you know, we've been trying to figure out.
We don't have much
why
time.
Why would they do this?
Well, we don't have much time left, but that attorney, Scott Lindsay, has been dismissed.
That's right. He was fired.
All right. And very briefly, I've got about 20 seconds left. Holbrook, what's next in this story?
Well, we're continuing to look into the situation and monitor it, and we'll follow any developments. And, you know, mainly we want to know what is going to happen to these children.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay tuned. Thank you for your reporting, Holbrook Moore and Mitch Weiss, investigative reporters for the Associated Press. Thanks so much for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, Michael Jordan, Bird versus Magic, Dean Smith all had their unforgettable March Madness moments. Next, Mark Mailer talks about a new book, Madness and the 10 Most Memorable NCAA Basketball Finals. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.